you really are a marketing and sales organization. You have to close deals every year to even maintain. The beginning is tough. You got to lift it off the ground. I'd be trying to put between 4 and 8 hours a week into your own marketing.
Do you feel you should be further along in your contracting business? Are you tired of not making the money that you know that you're worth? Or maybe you're winning, but you just want to win at a higher level. I'm Tom Reber, and this is the Contractor Fight. Turn this shit up and get ready to earn more respect, earn more money, and be a better leader in your business. Oh, and P.S., this show is not for thin-skinned people. If you offend easily or have a victim mentality, you should probably just move the fuck on right now. Let's go. All right, fighters, today I'm super, super duper stoked to share with you an interview I did here today with my buddy Spencer Powell from Builder Funnel. They do marketing services for builders, remodelers, all that good stuff, home builders, and other contractors here and there. And we both live in Colorado Springs, and we planned on getting together in person and doing this in the same room and making it more exciting, but we had to reschedule a couple times, and then Corona and all that other garbage. So we just made it here, made it happen here for you today. But I'm really excited. We talked about how to market your business if you're a smaller or younger company. How to, you know, what are some things you can put your focus on if you're a well-established company doing $1.5 million, $2 million a year, you know, whatever it might be. Talked about content. We talked about how to know if your SEO guy's doing his job or not, and a bunch of other stuff. So super fired up that you guys are joining us today. Make sure you go check out his website at builderfunnel.com and give him a shout out on social and stuff. He's all over the place. He practices what he preaches. And anyway, here's my buddy, Spencer Paul. Spencer, what's going on?
How's it going, Tom? Good to see you.
It's good to see you too. It's good to chat here today. So I was thinking last night, was it? Maybe this morning, I don't know, same thing. My first interaction with you, do you remember it?
I believe I do, but we can test my memory. It was actually back at our office at the TMR Direct building. So, yeah.
That's right, man. I stopped in because I was inquiring about direct mail or something for a client. And at the time, I had no idea how fucking cool you were and what a kick-ass company that you're running over there at Builder Funnel. And I hadn't heard of you prior to that. And I went on Google. Look at that, digital, right?
It works. Yeah.
Walked in. We're on each other's radar. Next thing I know, we're on podcasts. And now we're sharing some space here in the contracting world, man. But what we were going to do with this is bring our teams together with our video cameras and do like some real, you know, a few hours of footage and conversations and all that other stuff. And then my Corona happened to us. So then we rescheduled again because of me, and finally nailed this down. So I'm excited to chat with you here today. So people that don't know you and Builder Funnel and what you guys do, give us the broad overview here, man.
Yeah. So before I do that, I'm curious, do you remember what year that was when you popped into the building?
I think it was 2015.
2015. Okay.
It was 15 or 16 because I moved to Colorado in May of 15.
Okay. Yeah. Lots changed since then. So
yes.
That makes sense. We were still figuring some things out, but yeah, basically our company evolved from a direct mail company, and really, my dad saw the shift happening and he said, hey, we got to pivot to digital. And so that division was just kicked off as me, like, hey, figure out digital marketing. And we have family in the building business out in the Seattle area. So that was kind of our tie-in, and they were our first client along with our own website. And really that's evolved to today. We work with builders, remodelers, and contractors, and we don't work with any competing companies, but our goal is, hey, you need to get found online. You're looking for more leads from your website. We'll come in, clip in as your team, your digital team, and help you do that.
So your dad, let's give him props, because that's an old dog, right? I don't know. He's probably my age. But he had the vision to go, hey, this is where the hockey puck is going. So let's skate to where the puck is, not where it is now.
And
wakes up one day and says, we're going to go digital. Appoints you. I'm going to make a prediction here.
Okay.
Just based on what I know about you. Or I'm going to make a guess of what happened. You went on Google. You typed in something along the lines of how to digital marketing. And you came across like Marcus Sheridan and stuff like that. Am I even close?
You're close. Yeah. Okay. There's some variance in there. Yeah. So basically what happened, I had actually just gotten out of college and was getting into researching like what I wanted to do with my life. And so I was online a lot, looking at jobs and stuff. And I kept seeing marketing and social media being used for business. This is kind of like when Facebook business pages were the new hot thing. Mm-hmm. And I saw a couple of thought leaders in the space. I think I started bumping into, guys like Marcus Sheridan and HubSpot, and there was a few others, and going, huh, this is kind of interesting. This is fun. So I actually set up my own company, started doing that with just some friends and family clients. And then my dad had gone to a direct mail conference and they said, direct mail is going off a cliff. You got to revamp your company. Mm-hmm. And he saw what I was starting to do. And he said, hey, before you kind of get your own thing going too far down the road, do you want to just come over here and figure this out? And that was kind of the intersection of those things. So.
And then you said, hey, I'm all in, but show me the money, man.
Exactly.
You got to pay up, Dad.
Got to pay up. Yeah. So I started at 30 grand or something and off we went. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah. So you said a lot's changed over the last 5 years. Give us a snapshot of you then and you now.
Yeah. So me then, we had made some progress for sure, but I would say still like forming leadership abilities, management abilities of the team, like still trying to figure out our vision for where we wanted to take this thing. Still making just more mistakes than you'd want to be making. I mean, you're always making mistakes. Yeah. If you're pushing hard enough, I feel like you're always making mistakes. But yeah, really today we just have a lot more structure in place and we have a proven process. There was still a lot more experimentation, I feel like, going on 5, 6, 7 years ago. Whereas now there's a little bit of experimentation with a lot of process and proven results. And so some of that just came through just a lot of trial and error and hard work. And I think now we just have a lot more backing of real results and case studies, along with confidence, which comes with that, right? When you provide a lot of value, then you get more confident.
You and I don't talk often. I see you from afar, and I will tell you my perspective of you guys over the last 5 years has been, can be summed up with me in my head. I'm on social media, I'm online, I'm doing all this shit, and you're popping up. And I'm like, holy shit, Spencer's everywhere. Like, he's everywhere. So you're not just somebody who's preaching stuff to do for these guys to do. You're living it out in your own business. And I have a ton of respect for that, because a lot of people talk about, I'll throw this one out there. One of my biggest pet peeves is when a contractor goes out and hires a social media manager, right? And
yes.
The social media manager doesn't know dick about social media, hasn't grown a following, hasn't made money from it, and things like that. In fact, the other day, I was driving through the Springs here, and for those of you who don't know, we both live in Colorado Springs, and there was on the back of this girl's car, it said, grow your Instagram channel.
Oh, no.
Okay? Yeah.
Oh, no.
Gets better.
Where is
better.
This going? Yeah.
It's better. You know what the contact thing was on there?
Oh gosh, I don't even want to guess.
It was a website. It was a website. And I went, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong here. Like, it's never wrong to get somebody your website, but I'm like, you're pitching grow your Instagram. I would think you'd have your Instagram handle on there, right?
I would agree.
So I'm just saying. Yeah, so I
mean, and the fact that you're promoting it on your car and not your own Instagram, yeah. So.
and so I took a screenshot of it, or I took a picture of it. It was like at a light. And later that day, I went on Instagram and couldn't find them.
Oh, man.
So, and that's my point is that's what so many business owners are used to when they hire somebody to do their marketing, their social media, whatever, is they wake up one day, they stick their head up out of the hole like a prairie dog, and they're like, where are the results? I've been forking out X amount of money every month for X amount of time, and I don't have anything to show for it. So just props to you and your team, man, because every time I turn around, you guys are there. I mean, I'm looking at you right now. It says Builder Funnel Radio, and you got the little tree there and stuff like that. That is a background that I see.
Yeah, you've probably seen that a few times.
Multiple times a week.
Yeah.
And so I want to address, I guess, two different guys today in our talk. One's going to be the smaller business. One's going to be the larger business.
Sure.
I would say no less than 18 to 20, 24 times a week, we get a message in one of our channels, I don't know how to market my business. And 99% of those are these smaller, newer, and they don't have to be new in business. Like some of these guys have been in business 10 years,
mm-hmm.
have a, you know, 1999 website, you know what I mean? And,
yes.
And they haven't touched it in years. Some don't do any marketing. They've relied on word of mouth and this and that. And they're starting to wake up to the fact like, hey, I got to market my business. I got to get the phone to ring because you don't get money if you don't have leads. And so I'd love to address, and you go any order you want here, just some of the low-hanging fruit things right out of the gate that somebody could be doing to market their business digitally. And then, and who's in a situation where they might not have gobs of revenue and profit coming in and piles of money in the closet in the office and stuff like that. And then there's
the
other
piles.
Yeah, no shit. And then there's the other guy who might be $1.5 million, $2 million, 2.5, but he feels like maybe things have gotten stale. They've plateaued. Maybe the quality of leads isn't great. So could you just talk a few minutes on each one of those and we'll just kind of pick it apart from there.
Yeah, for sure. And right before I dive into that, I appreciate you, I guess, recognizing that we practice what we preach, because that was one of the things I never liked about the direct mail company is I always asked, like, do we do direct mail to get our own clients? And, you know, we got it through word of mouth referral, right? You know, and so anyway, I like this style of marketing because I believed in it for ourselves and we try to be our own best case study and just experiment and test. So I appreciate that. But yeah, I think for the guys that are going, okay, digital is new or not sure what to do, the lens that I always look through it is that this is an area where you can spend more time if you don't have dollars. And it gives more power back to the small guy, the internet does. And granted, if you've got big bucks, you can go spend your way on the internet, no problem. But Google doesn't really care if you're a one-person company or a 100-person company, because what they see is your content, your website. They do see your social media, like all these pieces. And so a good example of like what you can do if you're a small company, the very first campaign I ever did when I knew nobody, when we first started our business, was I'm going to host a webinar. It's going to educate people on what digital marketing is. And then I personally went to LinkedIn and I typed in the little search bar, remodeler, builder, contractor. And then you get a whole list of all these owners. And I literally individually messaged thousands of these people, companies all over the country. And I said, hey, I'm hosting this free webinar. Here's what we're going to talk about. If you think it might help you, register below. You can take this same concept, especially right now where people don't want to be attending events. You can do digital event. You can take a webinar and say, okay, who do I serve? Where are they? And then you can create an educational webinar, host it, and then go and find those people on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, search by your area, search by, you know, location, search by trade, profession. Like if you know you work with higher income people, you can find those people on LinkedIn and then personally invite them. And I did this from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at night for like 3 weeks as I was leading up to this webinar. But you know what? Like, I always think about, you know, if you don't have the dollars, then you have time.
Yeah.
And you have to create the time, because you won't get the dollars unless you start getting your marketing and sales going. So I think that is a nice like campaign that's structured, and you can just grunt out like some marketing, but you can do it from your, you know, your bed. You can fire up your laptop and you can just sit there and go for it. You can be doing it while you're watching TV, you know?
So for the person that's listening to this going, yeah, that's great, because you go online, LinkedIn or whatever it is, and you have this clear target audience of builders, remodelers, painters, landscapers, whatever. If I'm listening to this and I'm a painting contractor, I'm a landscape contractor, you know, a remodeler, whatever, what would that online event look like? Like, what would I be delivering to them in that, if somebody were to do that? Or is this just a concept you're giving and you kind of have to make it your own? Like, what would that look like?
Yeah. So I think whatever service you are, if you're a painting contractor or, you know, roofer or whatever it is, like, you know that your prospects have questions when they go to buy from you. And so let's say it's, you know, they have questions about the cost or how long it takes or what kind of paint to use, what are the different types of paint? So you're going to say, okay, I know that whenever I get into a sales conversation, I get these handful of questions, you know, and they're super common. Everyone has them. Great. I'm going to create a webinar where I'm going to talk through and answer these questions and explain why you might go with this paint versus this one, or, you know, this, right, whatever. I'm not a painter, so I'm struggling for other examples. But then you have that content, and somebody that's sitting there online, they're browsing Facebook, they're browsing the internet, they're looking around, they're going, I need to paint my fence, or I need, you know, my house painted, or whatever it is. And so they're going to be intrigued by that. And this maybe isn't like the catchiest webinar ever that I've thought of on the spot, but the point is that if you're adding value to people, they're more inclined to, one, be attracted to you, but two, actually give up some personal information. So a name, an email, and register for the webinar.
Yeah.
And now once you've hooked them in there, now you've got that one-on-one conversation. It is one to many. There could be 10 people signed up, 30 people signed up, and you're delivering that. And you can offer a next step at the end to do a free consultation or whatever it may be to lead into your sales process. But the whole premise of what we do, and the example of this, the reason I went with this campaign route, was, what does your audience want to know about when they're making the purchase? And how can you create content that answers that question or helps them make a good decision about that purchase, whether it's from you or somebody else?
Yeah.
Obviously, them getting to know you and being on your webinar, there's a good chance they're going to purchase from you.
So would it then make sense then, because I'm asking this because I want to take this just a hair deeper,
yeah,
to show people how things could be repurposed, right? So let's say you do that webinar, say two people show up. So what, right? It's still two people.
You
have a captive audience. Then you could take that recording, you could upload it to, like, say, your YouTube channel, you could upload it to your website, you know, you go on YouTube, which is owned by Google, and if you optimize it properly for search and stuff, are you then more likely to come up in your area when people in your area type in, how much does a bathroom remodel cost?
Is that how it works? Yep, and you could, like, the path that you're going down is a great one, because I think the example of two people showing up or zero people showing up is a great one to use, because that might happen. Mm-hmm. But if you record it, to your point, you now have a content asset that can work for you over time, and you can upload it to YouTube and you can get found through search terms. If you really want to take it to the next level, I would say chop up that webinar into 5 or 6 segments of a few minutes each, that maybe silo out a couple of those questions or a couple of good nuggets, and then chop that up and use that on your Instagram, your Facebook, your LinkedIn, your YouTube, have them all point back to the webinar that's now on your website, but it's on demand and you have to register to watch the whole thing. Now it generates leads for you over and over again.
Ooh, look at you, man, getting all ninja on us. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm just sitting here going, would I want to sign up, and or would I hop on YouTube and watch a 45-minute thing on paint drying, right? So
yeah, maybe not. But would you watch 3 minutes? Like, yeah, you might do that.
Yeah, you would. So that's cool. So you're talking about that, you know, you got money or you got time, right? And right now we're still on the time factor. So how much time in a week should that smaller guy that we're talking about be spending on his marketing?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And the way I think about it is all of these businesses are project businesses, which means you're really a marketing and sales organization that happens to do painting or happens to do roofs, because you could be doing 10 million this year. And if you don't generate any leads next year, you could go to zero, or you could go to 1 million, or, you know, and granted, if you're doing 10 million, you're probably going to have a lot of word of mouth referral. You're not going to necessarily drop to one. But the point being that you really are a marketing and sales organization. You have to generate leads and you have to close deals every year to even maintain the same revenue level. And so I think about it as, okay, are you trying to maintain or are you trying to grow? And then that's going to determine that amount of marketing time. But I would say, you know, if you're really strapped and you're not really producing what you want to produce, I'd be trying to put between 4 and 8 hours a week into your own marketing. And at the beginning, it's probably going to take longer because you're not used to doing the activities and you're still learning some of them. Like when I say, oh, just host a webinar, I already know people are going, oh, like, how do I do that? And there's all these steps. And there are, right? And like, I didn't know how to host a webinar. And so I Googled, how do you host a webinar? And you just start looking for, but then you actually have to go through the mechanics of doing it. And the first time always takes longer. So, you know, at the beginning, it could be 8 to 10 hours or 15 hours a week, and then you're going to ratchet it back. But again, since it's all online, this is stuff that you can primarily be doing at night. If you're saying, I don't even have time during the day, I'm just in the whirlwind of my business, carve out 2 hours a night and knock out 10 hours a week, you know, and you can still have your weekends if you're trying to save those. You know, like, I don't know, for me, it's all comes back to your goals. And when I first started, I just said, I got to make this work. So I'm just going to grind this out for as long as I need to. And then you start to hit scale, you know, you start to have, if you do a webinar every 2 or 3 months, now you have 4 webinars on demand after a year, and those can produce leads for you over time. And so you start to build this machine, but the beginning is tough. You got to lift it off the ground. Yeah.
Well, and it's, what's that you would know before I would think, the amount of fuel or percentage of fuel a plane uses to get off the ground.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know the percentage either,
but it's like 80%. But it's a lot. Yeah. It's some crazy number. All right, fighters, $100,000 a year is not too much to ask. Listen, when our parents were younger, 100 grand was a lot of money. When I was growing up, 100 grand was a lot of money. Today, it's barely enough to get by in America, especially if you're a business owner. You got a lot of responsibilities. Everyone's got a handout, man. You got your subs, your employees, your vendors, your customers, your family, the doctor, your lawyer, the IRS, the state. Everybody wants a piece of the damn action. And quite frankly, the bills are never going to stop. Okay? Sadly, most contractors just think, I got to work harder and harder and harder and harder to make more money. Yet you're putting in all this time, putting in all this effort, and you're wondering, why am I still at 50, 60, 75 grand a year when I'm working my ass off? Listen, that's where I wanted to share with you guys a resource that we have, a kick-ass program called the 100K Contractor. Guys, this program is designed to do just that. It's to get you as a contractor business owner to at least $100,000 a year in personal income. All right. So I want to just share this domain with you guys, because listen, at the end of the day, you deserve it. Your family deserves it. It's time we quit stealing from our families. We've got a lot of cool stuff inside the 100K Contractor. So if you go to thecontractorfight.com/100K-contractor, you can see what we got going on. And we've got a couple of videos where things get explained, and get you guys set up on the right path toward your 100K personal income. You guys rock. Can we talk about Instagram for a minute?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. You can say no. That's okay.
Let's do it. I mean, I may not be the master, but I'm happy to field the questions.
I see some people absolutely crushing it on Instagram with the remodeling companies and painting companies. I'm talking like 100,000, you know, followers. And, you know, one guy I had on my show a year and a half or so ago, I believe is now currently doing pretty close to 100% of his revenue. You know, never exactly 100%, sure, but call it 80, 85, 90%. Of all his new inbound leads and things like that, that turn into work, we'll call it that, are from Instagram.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's crazy. And I think a lot of it is, Instagram is so visual. I think the other part is, understanding who your influencers are. So if I'm a painter, you know, it's interior designers and it's real estate agents and it's things like that. Because those people are standing in front of our clients every day. So how can somebody use Instagram, just from what you've seen, to grow their business and not just waste their time on their posting pictures nobody gives a shit about?
Yeah. So I'm going to maybe take it in a little bit different direction. Before I answer that question, my question would be, how many percentage wise of these companies do you think are killing it on Instagram or getting a significant amount of revenue from their Instagram?
Well, it's funny because the one that I referenced, we've had an offline conversation where I know he's making money. Mm-hmm. And I talked to another contractor that's got 50, 60, 80,000 followers and he doesn't make dick.
Yes.
Okay. So
okay,
I get that. Perfect. I totally get that. But I'm, you know, I'm talking, how do you turn that into money as a contractor?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, what I would say is when I look at all of our data, Instagram supports what you're doing, but generally what provides you with the leads is Google. And so what we see is Google is going to be the place where people are searching. They're trying to find a company or they have specific questions. And so, you know, their intent is I'm going to find a painting company. I'm going to find a roofer. I'm going to find, and they may not start with painting company, Colorado Springs. They may start with their questions, but they're still searching for that. Whereas on Instagram, on Facebook, we'll stick with Instagram since that's what you asked about. They're not necessarily looking for a painter. They might stumble into you if they happen to be looking for a painter. So I actually like looking at social media as more of a brand tool and a nurturing tool. So if somebody knows about you, then they want to go check you out on social media and verify you're legit and you're actually posting stuff. And, you know, they want to learn about your team and your culture and see if that's, you know, a company they want to do business with. So my answer would be, I don't know if I'm the smaller guy, I don't know that I would be dumping a ton of my time into Instagram. I would put it into creating blog content and like webinar campaigns, like content that's going to be hosted on your website because your website has the authority and it will start to rank in Google, and Instagram could disappear in 3 years. Yeah. And your website, that has been proven all through, you know, since we've started that is kind of the anchor of the home base. Facebook, Instagram, could it be TikTok next? Like, I hope not, but it probably will be. Like, so you got to keep jumping to these new social networks. And I would worry if 100% of my business was Instagram. I'd capitalize it, but I would also be looking for, I better be building up some other channels too. So I know that wasn't very tactical.
No, but that's a great answer. Cause as I'm thinking about it, you're right. It's, you know, Facebook and Instagram and, Google's intent based and the others are generally not. And it is about building brand. And I think something like Instagram specifically is great if you have a business that relies on relationships with like designers and stuff, and you can use certain hashtags to get seen. So, all right, let's hop one more question.
Sure.
About websites, and then we'll move on to that next type of guy we were talking about, who has more money than time.
Sure. Yeah.
I know Google changes algorithms and they're always doing some sort of voodoo under the hood, right? So what are some strategies or things that are unchanging?
Yeah.
You know, no matter what the algorithms do, that will lead to a contractor being successful. Is it simply what you just talked about with, you know, those types of questions? Is it
Kind of, yeah. And I'm really glad you asked the question because it does change. But if you look at the super macro level, all Google cares about is getting their searcher to the best information as fast as possible. So if you think about that, nobody's going to use Google if every time I type something in, I'm like, oh, this isn't what I was looking for.
Right.
They'll go somewhere else. So they want to get somebody to accurate and good information and fast, right? If it takes forever to use the system, like I don't want to use it because somebody else can do it faster. So if those become our North Star, then all the little details do become details. And so what that leads us to do tactically is, okay, if somebody had this question of, you know, what type of roof should I replace, you know, with? And I'm going to answer that, but I'm going to answer it and give all the best information. I'm going to explain there's these different types of roofs and here's when I might do this one or that one and really explain it. That might be a 1,000-word article, a 15-word article. You know, it's going to be super in-depth. And I'm going to have images so people can see what it looks like. So I'm adding to the user experience. You know, so when you get down into the technical weeds of SEO, we're looking at keyword, you know, the title of the post, images, how optimized are the images, how fast do they load, is there good information, are there links to supporting resources that are also on my website in other places. But again, those are technical pieces, but if you yeah. think about what they tie back into, it's am I giving this user a great experience and really good information? And so without getting super deep in the SEO weeds, yeah. like that's a good way to start. And then you want to localize. So don't forget about like, if you work in a certain city or town, ask the question, but add the town, like how much does it cost to replace a roof in Colorado Springs? Mm-hmm. And that's going to start to help you localize from that perspective. But yeah, it would create content.
So in that example there, here I am, I'm in my house in Colorado Springs right now. I type in how much does it cost? How much does a kitchen remodel cost? Whatever. That's all I type into Google. Does the Google machine, I yeah. talk like it's a fun machine sitting
there. It is a big machine. Yeah.
Does the Google machine, obviously I know it knows where I am.
Yes.
So does it match me on purpose with what it thinks the best answer is local to me?
It will try to do that. Yeah. And sure, you might see if you don't type in a location, it kind of gives them the option to give yeah. you a variety of resources. But that indicator, what you're doing from a content perspective is you're saying, if somebody is in my location, but they forget to type it in, I want to give myself the best shot to rank.
Yeah.
If they do type it in, I know I've got a really, really good shot because I also put it in my title. So you will see if you type that in, you'll probably see some sites pop up from around the country that are pretty strong authoritative websites. But yes, it helps you.
What blows my mind when we do our coaching calls and I do screen shares with clients in our group calls and we talk about marketing stuff. And I've been on the content bandwagon for many, many years. It's how I've grown my business and it's a marathon, right? I've been yes. running the marathon. I just keep showing up and producing stuff. And it will always be at the heart of every business I ever have will be content. That's just how I'm wired now. But what really drives this point home for me, and I encourage guys to do this, and actually I'm going to make a statement. You tell me true or false.
Okay. Let's do
and
it.
I guarantee you there's probably not just a true or false. It's probably,
yeah, rare, that's all right. Right? I'll try. I know it's all these, it depends answers. It's really yeah. fun. Yeah.
So if you go into Google now and open up, what do they call it? An incognito window or something that has no search history. It's just right. So
yes.
If I go into that, where I am here today and I go, how much does it cost to put a roof on in Colorado Springs or whatever my thing is? And I hit enter. Usually what I find 90% of the time is in those organic search results. I see Home Advisor. I see Angie's List. I see pretty much everything under the sun except a local contractor. And to me, this is the true or false part, or you can tell me otherwise.
Yep.
To me, that speaks to the fact that there's a lot of opportunity in my area because no one else is really answering that question and creating content in my industry.
True. Yes.
God, I got one.
Very true. Because we've seen it with, especially around cost. Cost is a big one. People are afraid to talk about cost. It's like, hey, your competitors know what it costs. They're in the business too. You're not giving away any trade secrets, but that's what every consumer wants to know. They want to know costs. Nobody wants to talk about it. You talk about it, you start to put yourself in the mix, and you will outrank the Home Advisor, Angie's List, those guys, because you are local and Google can figure that out. It may take a little bit of time, but we've seen that in a number of different markets where our blog post on cost starts to edge out Home Advisor and Angie's List. And it's because it's an actual local company and not a big directory.
Yeah. And again, my reasoning with this is if all those companies like Angie's List and stuff are showing up, it's because they're sinking the money into creating the content, because that's the shit people are going to Google and asking.
Another good point. Exactly. Yeah. Why would they create that? Why would they do this?
Right.
Why would they give away this information? And that's a really good lens to look at things through, is why would the big guys do something like this?
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not just wasting money.
Well, and the worst thing is the big guys generally have somebody writing that content that has no idea what they're talking about for the most part. And that's where consumers get misinformation on what things really cost. When, you know, Angie's List said I could do a basement remodel for $740 and it would only take 3 days. You know, it's like,
yeah, exactly.
And, so,
yeah.
All right. Before we get into that second guy we were talking about, I forgot twice to ask this, so I don't want to forget. What's been one of the most extreme examples you've seen with your team as you guys have worked with somebody that maybe didn't have some strong marketing stuff in place? They called you guys, and the next thing they know, they're king of the mountain.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say it's usually in an example where it's maybe a small to mid-sized city, you know, where somebody they can get to a sizable company and there's enough search volume and people in the market that are doing some things, but there's just no competition, you know, because they're relying on word of mouth referral. They just said, hey, I don't need a lead gen program. They haven't adopted. And so you can take just a garbage website. And I'm thinking about this one in my mind. It's probably one of the ugliest sites that we manage. And we've been managing it for a long time. And this was what brought clarity to me around design and performance. And design is the look and feel of your website. And so we took on this site and I went, man, we really need to redesign it. But they don't really have the budget. Like, we just need to get more traffic and leads to it right now. And so we started there. And then what I realized is we started getting like a lot more traffic and a lot more leads coming through the site. I'm going, did we even need to redesign it?
Yeah.
You know, because, and so what a lot of people do is they say, okay, I'm really going to start working on my website. I'll redo it. Okay. I'll spend $3,000, $10,000, $20,000, whatever you spend on the website. And now it's launched. It still gets the same number of people and the same number of leads. It just looks different. It looks prettier. It looks, you know, more gorgeous and all those things. So we took this really ugly site. I think again, it's just me though. It's subjective. Design is subjective, but it really doesn't look great. And it's one of our top performers for traffic and leads because we just hammered all the content, and it's in a vacation spot where people build custom homes, but it's kind of like a old school vacation spot, kind of a tired location. And, but man, they're the only ones that do any content. And so they're the leaders.
Shoot to the top there. Yeah. And, you know, had you gone and tweaked all the design of it and stuff, you were fixing something that might not have been broken. Right.
Right. Because, yeah.
Because there were other elements that, so on the keyword thing, how often, like if you build a site or you take somebody's site over and you go in and you do your keyword magic on it, how often does that keyword stuff have to be done? Like, is it changing all the time? What's hot, what's not? Or is that where the base structure of the site has what it has? And that's where like your blogs and articles come in based on the trends you guys are seeing in keywords. Like, how's that all work?
Yeah, great question. So I hear this a lot, which is I'm paying this SEO company and they're doing my my keyword stuff on the back end. I go, oh, interesting. I bet you're spending $199 or $399 a month to do this SEO stuff. And I always ask, what are they doing? You know, just I'm curious, what are they doing on a monthly basis for this fee? And they say, I don't know, they're changing out some keywords. And, you know, they send me a report every month. And to your question, no, you shouldn't be changing all of your keywords all the time on your website. What you want to do is create a keyword strategy and an SEO plan. And you say, okay, for my homepage, I think this is the best, most relevant keyword. Mm-hmm. For my services pages, these are the most relevant keywords. And then you're going to optimize those pages for that keyword. And then you're going to say, now I'm committing to trying to rank for those keywords. And so then you're going to go on to your blog content, your supporting pages, and you're going to link back to those pages, try to build some strength to those pages so they can start to move up. But if you change your page title and your URL, and you say, okay, I'm switching from this keyword to this keyword now, you're basically resetting the SEO on that page and saying, now I'm going after this new keyword. So you have to start over. And those pages can have some equity built in if you have some backlinks. And so starting over from ground zero can still be in a better spot than total ground zero. But you're basically saying, hey, Google, this is about a different keyword now or a different topic.
1,000 years ago when I wrote my first blog, I want to say it was 2010 in my painting company. Yeah, I had to be right around 2010. We decided at the time that we really wanted to go after more interior projects. We were just geared for, they're easier to schedule, you don't have weather, all that other crap. And it's kind of our wheelhouse. And, you know, learning about inbound marketing and what people are typing in and price being one of the top things, interior painting prices was one of the top things. So I wrote, this is pretty crazy. I wish I still had the data for this. I just don't, because I'm telling the truth. It's pretty cool.
I believe you at least.
Thanks, man. I wrote a series of blogs. And so the first one was, what are average interior painting prices? And I talked about like a whole house or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I did, interior painting prices. I think I did, and I don't even know if I did it right. It was right because it worked, but I don't know what we would do today, but it was interior painting prices. How much does it cost to paint a kitchen? Interior painting. I mean, I went crazy on this. Interior painting prices, the bathroom, the living room, the bedroom. And within like a month and a half or 2 months, I went from owning nothing on Google's first page to owning at least four of the organic spots just because we went after that one stinking keyword. And I used to do this presentation where I took a screenshot of how many people saw it in like the first few couple months that, cause we had HubSpot at the time. And it was like 425 people had uniquely come into our website from this keyword. And then like 8 or 9 months later, it was like 4,400 people. And, and then it was pretty much 90% of the leads that we had were interior leads and this, cause we got targeted. And that's one of the big mistakes I see a lot of business owners make is they go, I run into this a lot with like our GC guys that we coach and remodelers. You know, yeah, we do it all. We do additions. We do this, we do this, we do this. And I'm like, yeah, but what's your sweet spot? What's your profit center? It doesn't mean you don't do those other things because you're going to get found anyway, but really go, you know, all in on the shit that is your wheelhouse and that makes you the most money and it's low friction to sell and all those other things. So anyway, it just made me remember that.
No, I love that. Yeah. And what you experienced too was probably just that you could reference all those articles and link to them. So, hey, if you want to learn more about this, click here. And Google sees all of this related content connected together by links. And so you get more horsepower behind it. So to your point on the GC side, like, hey, yeah, pick kitchens if you're really good at kitchens and you love those projects and just hammer the content on kitchens for a while and link it all together and cover that whole topic with 10 or 12 blogs, then move on to bathrooms or additions or whatever it is.
That's awesome. All right, let's talk about the bigger guy, the guy who's got some money. He's not going to be pecking away at his kitchen table at 1 a.m. writing a blog post and stuff sure. like that, unless he really is into that, right? So what are some of the big struggles or mistakes you're seeing from the bigger companies?
I would say the biggest one is inconsistency just in tactics. You know, so I often see, you know, I've talked to somebody and I say, well, what's worked for marketing in the past? And the answer I get is, oh, well, we've tried this and we've tried that. And we've, you know, it's, we tried a local magazine. We've done a little pay-per-click. Once we hired this SEO company, we do a little social media. You know, it's always, we tried this or we've been doing a little X. And what I've found over the years is you can do a lot of things wrong, but if you're consistent, you'll still start to see that build up. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to content, you know, I'm not saying if you're doing magazines and you're always picking the wrong magazine where none of your audience reads, you know, like, yeah, that's probably not going to work if you're consistent. But yeah. If you're really targeting the right audience and you're attacking something, most people just don't stick with it enough. Mm-hmm. And the other one is just hiring those fly-by-night SEO guys. It happens all the time. And I equate it to the Chuck and the truck in, yeah, you know, our industry, which is there's tons of those guys and they give the reputable companies a bad name. It's just like the SEO companies and you'll get these, hey, we can help you rank in Google, you know, and it's usually a few $100 a month. And again, you know, you don't know what you're getting. So I always just say, ask a lot of questions. Like, what are you going to do for that amount of money? You can't just do this magic stuff and get me to number one. You used to kind of be able to do that about 10 years ago, but it changed a long time ago. But that inconsistency piece, and you've probably seen it in your different businesses, just there's an element of lead gen, but there is also this element of brand and they do play together. And so you get that benefit of somebody finding you, but they're not ready. So then you have to stay in front of them. And so if you're not consistent in that same channel that they found you or that they may interact with you in, then they may not see you again when they actually come around to doing whatever project it was. So I think if you stick with it, you'll see a lot more success.
Yeah, and that's not just for bigger companies, but that's everybody in the sense that you have to understand there's that customer journey, right? And it's the, you know, there was a thing that I've kind of embraced several years ago that I really hold true to is that if you had 100 of your ideal clients right now, think of the client you want to clone as a contractor, and give them a name like it's Mary or Julie or Bob or whatever it is. Out of the 100 Bobs that are out there, roughly only 3 of them are looking right now.
Yes.
Now, you know where I'm going with this? And then there's like another 30 or so are, it's on their radar. Like they're open to it. Maybe they didn't know that they could put an addition there, or build a water feature there, or whatever it might be. And so they're open to some education. Then there's like another 30 or so that are planning for the future. Meaning when we make our last tuition payment for our son's college, we're going to call somebody and we're going to get on, you know, we're going to put that addition on, or we're going to turn his room into whatever. And so there's that journey and we never know where they're at. And so that's, you know, I think being really strong in marketing requires that consistency and patience. I call it patient urgency. Like I urgently create content every day, but I know I'm playing the long game.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that leads me to the other thing that I see all the time, which is people that do have more money than time, because they're saying, hey, I shouldn't be spending time writing blogs or doing these things. They're going to put dollars towards it. They put a lot of dollars towards driving traffic to their website. It could be Google ads. It could be Facebook ads. It could be Home Advisor. It could be any number of things. And they're saying, hey, I'm going to get more people to my website. But they don't recognize that a lot of people aren't necessarily in that spot to reach out and start a sales conversation. And so most people in this industry have really leaky websites, meaning that people get to the website.
Talk about that more, yeah.
They get to the website, and let's use this kitchen remodeling example we've been kind of using. So people that are going to do a kitchen remodel are probably going to dream about that and think about that for months, maybe years. And so if they come to you today and they're on your website and they're going, wow, this company has some cool stuff. I like their portfolio. I found this blog they wrote. It's really helpful. Man, we're saving up, or I can't, like you said, we're waiting until the kids graduate and then we're going to do this project. Okay. You know, we'll come back later. It's like, yeah,
you
say that, but they're just going to find whoever they find a year from now or 6 months from now when they're ready. So if you don't have a way to capture this person while they're in research mode, you may never get them back. And so you do see a lot of companies that spend a lot of money driving a lot of people to them, but then a lot of those people just end up leaving. And it's not necessarily that was bad traffic. Some of it could have been, but some of it could have been great traffic. They just need to get them later, or they need a way to stay in touch with them.
Well, especially for those bigger projects like that, because you don't just wake up and go, hey, let's call somebody and remodel the kitchen.
Right.
No, you're talking about it. You're having a conversation. You're, you know, and oftentimes it's the woman, right, in that scenario, who's going on Pinterest and bookmarking ideas and, you know, signing up for the kitchen guide or whatever on somebody's website. And these are all things that are, they're building relationship with the prospect, and they're also establishing you as the expert in that field. And that's, I think, where people lose track of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you're an emergency only type of service, then that maybe isn't as impactful for you. But most of us, people are going to consider the project even for a little bit, even if it's for a couple of weeks, and they'll just go through that process faster and they have less questions, less considerations, but they still have some. And so on your website, I always think about those two people. There's the people that are ready to start a sales conversation today and those that aren't. So they're really those two big buckets. And the bigger bucket, to your point, is that whether it's 97% or whatever it is the people that aren't ready to talk to you today, but they're still in the mix. And so that's where something like a guide, an ebook, a checklist, a webinar, something where they can trade their information for more information that you're going to give to them. Now you've got them via email. Now you can stay in touch with them. You can be consistent in staying in front of them, so that 3 months down the road, now you're the company they've seen three times a week or once a week or even three times a month versus all their competitors who they just found that day, so that they can compare them to you because they actually know you now.
Right.
Yeah.
If you ask a marketer how much a company should spend, what percentage of revenue, they're going to say like 90%, right? You know, you spend it all.
Sure.
But realistically, I know the world's changed quite a bit. You know, way back in the day before digital was so big, it was like, you know, if you want to be super aggressive, you're at, you know, 7 to 12%. If you're going to maintain, you're at 3 to 5 or, you know, of revenue or whatever. What guidelines do you recommend?
Yeah. From what I've seen in the industry, if you're on more of the like GC side, so like bigger remodels, design build, that sort of thing, I think being in that 3 to 5% is pretty good and pretty sustainable. I've heard, and you know, we don't work with as many specialty contractors and that sort of thing, but heard that is more towards that, you know, 5 to 10%, because you're really, there are smaller projects, you're needing to get a lot more lead flow. And so you need that consistency in the number of leads and the volume of leads, and the margins are different, right? You know,
So
That's what I see. And you hear different things like, should I spend more if I'm trying to grow or less if I'm trying to maintain? I would look at it as like, if you spent 5% this year, which to some people is like, whoa, I spend 0 or 1%, you know, that might seem like a lot, but if you spent 5% and then this year and you have a good year and you're like, okay, now I want to do more next year, you may take some of your profit and reinvest that into marketing and say, hey, I'm going to still budget 5% of my revenue, but I'm also going to invest this, you know, extra 30 grand of my profit and put that into growth. So I would imagine you want to maintain profitability, but then once whatever you do with that profit is up to you as a business owner. And so that's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of
marketer's opinion.
Yeah. But I also think there's a lot of opportunities to get more leads without spending any more money. And again, that comes down to even the time factor, right? Of creating content. Mm-hmm. Now you're paying somebody to do it, you know, in your company or whatever, but it's a fraction. Or if you're one of those smaller businesses or whatever, it's just your time. But I also think we all have a gold mine that we're sitting on, and that's our database that most of us don't use. You know, one of the things we preach all the time in the fight is, you know, hey man, you got to be emailing your customers on a regular basis, putting good content that's valuable, drive them back to your website, you know, picking up the phone and just going, hey, Spencer, we painted your house last year, your warranty's up in a couple months, just wanted to see how things are looking. Like, it's that touch, it's that, you know, sending gifts. There's so many things that you could do that don't require, you know, forking out big dollars if you're really focused on just your customer. And so I want to encourage people with that. So Spencer, before we wrap up, what didn't we talk about that you're going, dude, we should have talked about this?
I guess we didn't spend a ton of time on the foundation of your website. And I don't want to get super technical, but I would just say, like, hey, if we're really looking at the website as home base and kind of the center of almost all of our marketing today, because people are going to get there, whether they find on the back of the truck, you know, with the Instagram or they Google it, you know, they're going to get to the website eventually. And if you have it on a platform that is really tough to make updates to, you always have to go through a web designer, you know, you don't have a lot of control, it's probably a good time to look at that again, because you really want your platform to be a marketing tool. And if, like, I don't know how to code websites, so I need a tool that's built for marketers. And so I would just say that that's something that we didn't talk about that's super important. Hey, if you're going to start adding all this blog content, working on your SEO, it should at least be on a platform that can scale and support a marketer and not just be one of these, hey, I pay this web guy $200 a month and he'll swap out my photos and, you know, I can't do it. Even if you don't want to do it, you should have the ability to do it.
Right.
Or somebody on your team.
So how do I know? See, every time you say something, I think something else. I'm sorry. how do I know if my web guy's doing a good job?
My SEO company? Man, that's a loaded question. Yeah.
You know what's, I get that some of this stuff takes some time, right?
It does. Yeah.
So are there some things that are indicators along the way that we're moving in the right direction? Like, what would some of those things be?
Yeah. So I guess we're talking more performance now than just like, hey, I'm swapping out my photos and how much does he charge? So the one thing, if somebody's doing your SEO or they're saying, hey, I'm going to help you improve your website, the easiest way to see if you're moving forward, backward, or not progressing is pop into your Google Analytics, look at your organic traffic on a 1 or 2 year timeline. Is it going up? Is it going down? Is it flat? And you want to look at a 1 or 2 year timeline, because then you'll see seasonal trends, because most of us, we have seasonality, whatever service we're providing, you know, and so you'll see spikes at certain times and it'll drop off. But if your organic traffic isn't improving either month over month or year over year, and you can't just compare 1 month and the next month because it does take time. But if you're looking at that chart and it's just kind of hovering along or it's slowly declining, you're not making progress. You're really not. That just means you're not getting found in Google more than you were a year ago or 6 months ago. And that'll take you 3 minutes. If you listen to this and you're like, great, is my guy doing a good job? Go into Google Analytics, back out 2 years. Does it look like your organic traffic is growing? And then you can look at speed, like how much is it going up or down? But a lot of times you'll see it's flat and then you know, hey, we're not really moving ahead.
Because there's a couple different elements to this, right? First, you got to be found, then they got to convert.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and the first one is, let's just make sure we're getting found. And then conversion comes into thing. Is that things like site speed, ease of finding things? Do you have contact forms or whatever it is that are like, we talked a little bit of the attraction side and getting found. What are some conversion tips? If you're getting a lot of traffic and people aren't filling shit out, you're not getting
a
website or phone calls, what's up?
Yeah. If you're getting a lot of traffic and you're not getting leads, it usually means one of two things. One, the traffic is just bad. It's coming from the wrong sources and people are hitting there and they're leaving. That's less common. The most common is people are leaving, but it's like we talked about earlier, they're not actually ready to talk to you today. And so that's where having like a kitchen design guide, the ultimate guide to painting, whatever it is, where somebody can go, okay, good, I got a bunch of information from the website, but I want a little more. And they have to fill out a form to get access to that, because that's how you, that's the only way you can convert somebody when they're not ready today, is by saying, hey, I've got some extra value for you. Just to ask that you put in your name and email. And now you've captured that person and they can go into your email program and you can stay in front of them. You can do some things like Facebook retargeting, where if somebody hits your site, you can follow them around, but you still don't have their info. And so I like controlling that as much as possible. One other thing I'll add, because you mentioned it, which is the client list. I actually had a conversation this week, and it was Friday, but he basically was saying, hey, you know, here's what we're trying to do. And we talked about what we might do for them and working together. And then at the end of the day, it was like, you got a list of 2,000 people that you've never emailed before. I said, don't even work with us right now. I just said, go email that list twice a month with value added content, like a newsletter, for 6 months. You'll hit your number, like you'll hit your sales number. And so I love that you mentioned that, because sometimes the answer is, yeah, what's the gold mine you're sitting on? If you have a few hundred past customers and clients, and if it's in the 1,000 mark or more, just stay in regular contact with them. And then you're solving the timing problem, which is you don't know when any of those guys are ready, but if they're seeing you over and over and over, then boom, they're like, oh yeah, I should call them, because people forget.
I find with that email list stuff, a couple things. One is, yes, you got to send some of value. So those blogs you're writing, how do you wash your walls, or how do you get your house ready for your remodeler, or whatever, you know, the stuff is, that adds value. So you're not just going buy shit, you know, every time you email them. One of the things that worked really well for us was every now and then we'd do a, did you know, email, like, did you know, we also do this. Did you know, we also do this. And we set it up, you tell a story. It's a story like, hey, it's Tom here with Tom's Painting. And, you know, we serve hundreds of clients a year, and it, every now and then it hits me that so many of you have hired us for one thing and have no idea that we also repair drywall, or we also do stain work, or whatever it might be. That usually got a kick of leads like right away, and people would call the office. They'd be like, oh my God, we were a full service painting company. And they're like, oh, we didn't know you painted exteriors. I'm like, oh my God. Right. So that one element. And the other, we actually got, whenever we sent an email out, that like few days after that email, our referral leads went up. And so, because they're at the soccer game with the kids, and they're, somebody's talking about, yeah, we want to get some work done at the house. And, oh, you got to call so-and-so. They were great. And they're, because we were top of mind, because they just saw that stuff. So it's not just for those listening. It's not just like you're going to keep emailing out just to get your people to buy over and over and over, which a lot of them do. There is a lifetime value of a customer. But that lifetime value to me also includes that referral network and all those other things that wouldn't have been there if it weren't for that original customer.
Yeah. Love that. And I love the, did you know, because so often, it shocks us, but it's like, of course they don't know, because we haven't communicated it to them. Yeah. And to your other point, I say this all the time, but most businesses, yours and mine included, we just don't have enough attention. You know, we're just not on people's minds as much as we wish we were. You know, we're in our worlds 24/7, but your customers aren't. And so, you know, that frequency of communication, that's why, you know, you're pushing out a ton of content, and you see, you know, the content that you put out on Facebook and Instagram all the time. And that's why you said you've seen videos of me in this background 3 times a week. It's because we're both saying, hey, we want to stay relevant. We want more attention. Mm-hmm. And that's the same challenge we're all facing. And so I think just it goes back to that consistency piece and then the frequency piece, you know, just staying in touch.
You hit on it huge, that people don't live in our world all day, every day. And we're like shocked when they hire somebody else because they didn't remember us. But I thought you liked me. I thought we did a great job. Oh, you did. I just forgot about you. I mean, I was hired hundreds of times for the years. I'd be like, you know, hey, looks like you had, you know, some work done around here in the past. Looks pretty good. Who'd you use? Oh, it was some guy named Spencer. I don't remember the name of his company. And you know, he painted, did a great job. I just can't find him. That's because they're not staying in touch.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Well, dude, I appreciate you carving out the time here to hang. If somebody wants to learn more about what you have going on there at Builder Funnel, how do they reach you? What's the best way to get in touch and learn more?
Yeah, I appreciate it. And builderfunnel.com is the easiest way. You know, you can find, we practice what we preach. We've got tons of free educational material. It's all, you know, digital marketing stuff. We got a resource section. So you'll see, you know, the downloads. You'll have to fill in your name and email if you want to get some of those, but we got tons of free blog content, podcasts and stuff too. So yeah, just head over there and happy to answer any questions too if people just want to chat for 15 minutes.
Sounds like a plan. Well, I'll make sure we'll get all that in the show notes and really appreciate you hanging out with us today. You had a shitload of value, man. Seriously, it was really cool. Good.
Hey, I love it. So thanks for having me on.
All right, will do. Well, with that, Travis, bring in the guitars and we will see all you guys next time on the Contractor Fight.
Want some fight swag to wear? Simply share this episode of the Contractor Fight anywhere on Facebook or Instagram using the hashtag #JoinTheFight, and our team will pick one winner each week to recognize your help in spreading the fight message.